Hello and welcome back to Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry. We are a ministry of the washing word. And you might say, what the heck is a washing word? Well, the washing word is it's our business. My name is Matthew, and along with my wife, Victoria, we run and own and operate the washing word hand car washing business here in Churchill. We're located on Highway 11 in the Palace Shopping Center. And there you can come get your car washed. You can also listen to this message and others by tuning your radio station to 107.1 while you're in the parking lot. We have a short-range transmitter that allows these messages to go forth on a loop, and they replay over and over again throughout the day. And if you miss this one or you want to hear some from this week, you can come by, and there you can hear these messages. Also, you can join us at the washandword.com website. That's washed, the letter N, word.com. There you can listen to all the archived messages and find out all the information you'd like to know about this business and this ministry. So getting back to our verse-by-verse Bible teaching, we'll pick up where we left off. And we had read verses 1 through 3, and we'll finish up that and maybe get a little farther today. We're talking about Nicodemus, and you can get yesterday's message to get the recap. But Nicodemus, a man of the ruling council of the Sanhedrin, a Pharisee, came to Jesus at night, acknowledging Jesus's power and authority, but doing it in the cloak of darkness. Fear was still a real thing for Nicodemus. But we're going to focus more on giving him credit for even coming and admitting the things that Jesus was and things that he was doing. So we give props to Nicodemus. We don't criticize him for coming at night. In fact, later on in the Gospel of John, we see that Nicodemus did come out, so to speak. And in John chapter 7, verse 50 and 51, it says that Nicodemus, who had gone to Jesus earlier, which is where we are now in the story, he was one of their own number, that is, a Pharisee, and he asked, does our law condemn anyone without first hearing him to find out what he's doing? So we see there Nicodemus sticking up for Jesus. And in John chapter 19, along with Joseph of Arimathea, we see Nicodemus carrying Jesus out and preparing his body for death. So he does come out, but right now he's a little bit fearful, and rightfully so. And he comes to Jesus in the cloak of darkness, Nick at Night, we were calling him. And Jesus' response, it wasn't what maybe you might have thought it could have been. In other words, Jesus could have called him out for being a coward, but he didn't. In fact, I believe that Jesus honored Nicodemus' faith and his courage. I mean, Jesus easily could have said, hey, you want answers? Come back in the morning. Come back in front of everybody else, and then we'll talk. I mean, after all, didn't Jesus say that if a man would acknowledge me in front of man, that I will acknowledge him in front of my Father? So Jesus could have made him come back, but Jesus wasn't interested in Nicodemus's social lot at this point in time. You know, Nicodemus did risk everything to be there, and I think Jesus knew that. And here's something that you should probably take with you today, and that is this. It is not so much what a person does as much as it is what they do based on their lot. And what I mean by that is, well, in the words of C.S. Lewis, he wrote this: human beings judge one another by their external actions. God judges them by their moral choices. So when a neurotic person who has a pathological horror of cats, for instance, forces himself to pick up a cat for some good reason, it is quite possible that in God's eyes, he has shown more courage than a healthy man may have shown by earning a Purple Heart. Or when a man who has been perverted from his youth and taught that cruelty is the right thing, when this man does something, a tiny act of kindness, or refrains from some cruelty that he might have committed, he may, in God's eyes, be doing more than you and I would do if we gave up our life for a friend. And so the point that he's making here is that it isn't the external thing that we do, it's the moral choice that we make in our hearts. And Jesus knew that what Nicodemus was doing here was a big thing for a man like Nicodemus. You know, we may think, well, big deal, he went to go see Jesus. Lots of people did. But again, look at the response Jesus gives. Doesn't touch on it at all. In fact, the response he gives in verse 3 is well, let's read it again. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." Now, if you know the story and you knew the first two verses, which we read yesterday, this answer seems to be like, you could just see Nicodemus going, huh? Like, well, that was out of left field, Jesus. What are you talking about? I'm wondering, you know, who you are, and you come up with this born again thing. But there's an underlying truth in these three verses that I really want you to get today, and that is this: all of the vastness of human knowledge cannot meet with God. Let that sink in for a minute. All of the vastness of human knowledge cannot meet with God. No one can know God through thought or education or intelligence or even mere wisdom. I like what Mark Twain once said. He said, "Never let formal education get in the way of your learning." You know, we learn about God. We know God by experience him. I mean, you could know all about the Bible and memorize chapters and books. You could know all about history and religion, yet still be unable to meet with God. It is through experiencing him that we learn about him. 1 Corinthians 1:20 says, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" You see, trying to meet God on an intellectual level, that's a works doctrine. That's a form of works. And if you know God and you know Christianity, we can't get there like that. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Nicodemus, he was schooled by a big book. You know, he was educated by years and years of indoctrination of laws and rules. But, and we've said this before, man cannot teach that which God can give in spirit. Man cannot teach that which God can give in spirit. We cannot come to God via intellect. Godly revelation of himself, well, that is a divine act, and that is done through the Holy Spirit, not through mentality, not through education. And as we might suspect, Nicodemus did not understand what Jesus meant about being born again. We know this by his answer. Verse 4 says, "How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Yeah, he didn't understand, and none of us probably would have either. You see, Jesus spoke in parables so that people could discover truth, not simply be told truth. But I'm going to repeat that because I believe it's very important. Jesus spoke in parables so that you and I can discover truth, not just be told truth, because truth discovered is truth applied. That is why teachers in school, they try to get you to figure out. They want you to work out your math and figure out how you got to the answers, because it's just being told the answer does not give you knowledge of the situation. Truth discovered, well, that is truth applied. And Jesus spoke in parables because he wanted people to discover what he was saying. And that is how we apply the things of God to our lives. I can remember when I was a pastor, and I got to this, I preached on this one time, and we had PowerPoint slides up behind me as I was preaching. And I remember trying to get this point across, and I did it in a very effective way. I put up a slide of a picture of Jesus, of course, how we have renditions of him. And then I put up another slide next to the picture of Jesus, and it was a picture of a bicycle wheel with spokes, just the wheel and the spokes. And then I put up a third picture, and it was two male cows, two bulls. And I put it up, and I said, "Does anyone know what this means?" And I got crickets, and then I had to explain it. I said, if you look at the three pictures, Jesus, the picture of a wheel, a bicycle wheel with spokes, and a picture of two bulls. And reading it across, I said, based on the pictures, it said, Jesus spoke in pair of bulls. Jesus spoke pair of bulls. And I put it together. Jesus spoke in parables. And I had people come up to me even years later saying they never forgot what that meant by putting it the way I did in the pictures. And that's what we do. We discover truth. It's the only way that we're going to apply truth is to discover it. And Jesus, as he always did, went straight to the heart of Nicodemus, because spirit must touch spirit. Let's look at verses 4-9. Jesus answers, Nicodemus answers him, "How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus asks. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying that you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asks. You know, Jesus speaking in parables that we could understand truth and then apply it because we discovered it for ourselves. You know, some preachers, they get up and they entertain. Some of them are funny and may even teach you a thing or two to your intellect. But listen, people are moved when the spirit within touches the spirit without. In other words, looking again at verse 6, "Flesh gives birth to flesh, but spirit gives birth to spirit." People are moved when the spirit inside of you touches the spirit inside of another. And when we speak from the heart, we speak a heart-to-heart truth to someone, or we put it in a way that they discover it for themselves. It is presented and they discover, and that is what moves people. When truth is discovered, Nicodemus was moved, though he still didn't get it based on his answer. We see that he was still looking at Jesus in a temporal way, even though Jesus was speaking eternally. And Jesus explains again in verse 9 how this can be. See, Nicodemus is still stuck on verse 3. He's still stuck on the born again thing. He's focusing on the natural. And you can see a hint of frustration in Jesus' response. Look at what he says here in verse 10. He says, "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know, and we testify of what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." I love the frustration in Jesus' voice. "You're Israel's teacher and you don't get this?" Do you ever get tired of the message of salvation falling on deaf ears? I do. I mean, the world is dying and people are going to hell, and you've told them over and over as plain as possible, and it's just frustrating sometimes. It's like somebody crying out, I'm bleeding, there's so much blood, and you try to hand them a Band-Aid or something to soak up the blood, and they're like, "Oh, no thanks." You have your Band-Aid and I have my profuse bleeding, I'll just leave it at that. I don't need a crutch. You ever heard people say, "I don't need the crutch of Christianity," yet they limp through life? Seconds later, that same person is crying about the blood, and you try to give them, and they don't take it, and they just want to smack the stupid right off their face. I mean, it's right here. Here's the cross. Here's everything you need. Just reach out. Just touch it. It's not hiding. It's not a mystery. There's nothing hidden here. Moses put up a snake and said, "All you have to do is look at it." Yet Israelites were dying. They wouldn't look at it. Jesus says the same thing. "Here I am. Come." Yet people continue in their sin. I don't know. Drives me crazy sometimes. Well, that's about all the time I have for today. We thank you for coming and tuning in to listen. Tomorrow at the same time, 8:30, Monday through Friday, we will pick it up again, verse by verse teaching. My name is Matthew, and we'll see you at the Washing Word. or washandword.com. Have a great day.